Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellmead, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love. Welcome
to the late night edition of the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host tonight, Alfreda Love, and tonight is a special night for many reasons. First of all, I want to shout out to my family, the Cook family reunion. We have that going on this weekend. But as I was beginning to prepare for the revelation of God, as I posted it on Facebook, the Lord has something else in mind. And so I'm going to tell you this beforehand. I am totally putting all of my trust in God. God is going to give me the words to say that I don't know yet. And he has a revelation for the people of God. He has a revelation for the people in general. The Lord is good and he is worthy to be praised. So as this ministry goes forth, you will hear some pauses. This is real. This is nothing that's made up. It's nothing that is given just because we want to come on air. Because actually, tonight, I was supposed to have a free day. Amen. But how many of you know that when you're in the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, you don't have any breaks? Amen. So with that being said, I want you to enjoy, because I know that we're going to be in for a treat, especially when we put all of our trust in God. When we decrease ourselves to zero or to nothing and increase God to greatness, and when we allow the Lord to begin to minister unto the people so that we can correct some things that are going on, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. I do know that on tonight, God's will, we're going to have some prayer utterance. I do know that we're going to have a revelation. What that is, I don't know. But what I do know is that I put all of my trust in God. And ever since I've done that, you know, even as a child, putting my trust in God, everything has worked out fine. So I come to you empty. I come to God empty. And one of the prayers that we're going to pray is that the Lord fill us up, amen, and we get through this particular night, because God wants some things to be revealed, and we have to be patient and we have to be obedient. So if you hear some pauses, it's on purpose, because we have to make sure that we're hearing the voice of God. We have to make sure that we are under the atonement and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and this is nothing that we're making up. This is nothing that fits our fancy, if you will, but fits the Word of God. Amen. So before we get started, I would like to go ahead and start with a scripture first rather than the prayer, because there are some things that the Lord wants revealed. And I need to read the scripture first, and then I'll come with the prayer. And actually, I'm going to read Psalm 30, and we're going to start with Numbers 4, through 7. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I'm going to read. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. I have read to you Psalm 30, Numbers 4 through 8. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy and mighty word. We're going to go into a zone, and it's a consecration zone. Then we're going to go into prayer. And then we're going to go into the revelation of God. And as I said before, I need you to just follow me because I'm following the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has some things that needs to be said, that needs to be spoken on tonight. So without further ado, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us to wake up this morning, Lord. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. Lord, we thank you for keeping our minds stayed on you. And if our minds were to deviate, we thank you, Lord, for sending us back to the cross where we could see the light. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for traveling grace, Lord. We thank you for peace of mind. We thank you for family. We thank you for friends. We thank you for new connections, Lord. We thank you for the word of God. And Heavenly Father, we're asking you today, tonight, as we come before you, through your orders, through your authorization, that you crown this head of mine from the top to the bottom. Place the words that you would have in my mouth, Heavenly Father. Would you continue to allow us to see and hear from you, Lord? Would you unstop deaf ears, Lord? Would you open up closed eyes? Would you open up closed mouths? Would you bless our hands to begin to praise you? Would you bless our feet to run to the will of God? Lord, we're asking in the name of Jesus today if you would decrease me to zero and increase you to greatness. If there's any of us that are too high, bring us down. If we're too low, Heavenly Father, bring us up. Heavenly Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus, would you help us, Heavenly Father, to be humble, to humble ourselves, not only before you, Lord, but before the people. Lord, we come to you as an empty cup, as an empty vessel, and we're looking for fulfillment of the word of God, of the anointing of God, of the prophecy of God, of the revelation of God tonight, July 4th, Heavenly Father. We realize and understand that we're dealing with individuals, Heavenly Father, who are broken. Individuals who have lost something, Heavenly Father, individuals who don't know their way, Heavenly Father, individuals who are coming out of a storm, individuals who are going in a storm, Heavenly Father, individuals who are the storm. And we're asking in the name of Jesus with this revelation and the word of God, penetrating their hearts, Heavenly Father, and penetrating their minds to give them a peace of mind where they can sleep calmly tonight, Lord. We're asking that you bless this service, this ministry, Heavenly Father, to be something that is edifying in your sight. Lord, we relinquish every right that we have to this ministry over to you, Lord, and we're asking you that you have your way tonight in the name of Jesus. Would you have your way in my mouth, Heavenly Father? Would you have your way in my eyes, my hands, my feet, Heavenly Father, my spirit, the anointing, the revelation, the prophecy? Would you have your way, Lord? Would you manifest yourself unto the people, Heavenly Father? Would you just show up, Heavenly Father, and come in and reside and have your way and have your being, Heavenly Father. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to help our eyes to remain open so that we can see your glory? Would you continue to help our ears to stay open so we can hear the voice of God? Would you bless our minds to be open-minded, Heavenly Father, where we can begin to explore the opportunities of serving a true and living God? Now, Lord, as we get ready to transition over to our prayer concerns and our prayers, Heavenly Father, we're asking, would you help us to cover each person, Lord Jesus? Would you help us to cover those who people may not want covered, Lord? Would you bless us to have the love in our hearts, for the love of God in our hearts to cover those people as well, Heavenly Father? Would you bless those who need to be healed? Help us to cover them, Heavenly Father. Those who need to be saved, help us to cover them, Heavenly Father. Those with disturbed minds, disturbed hands, disturbed feet, help us to cover them, Lord, Heavenly Father. And then help us to cover ourselves, Lord, because we all have issues. Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, as we submerge our minds and our soul unto you, Heavenly Father, and as we allow you to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, we're asking in the name of Jesus, would you help us to be able to say something or do something that would allow the people to come running and crying to you, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Lord, if there's anything in this little heart of mine, Heavenly Father, that's not shining and that's not of you, Lord Jesus, in the name of God, I ask you, would you remove it right now? If there's something that's in my hands, Heavenly Father, that's not supposed to be there, I ask, Heavenly Father, would you remove that right now? If there's something in my feet that's keeping me from walking in the will of God, Heavenly Father, I ask you, would you put me back on the right path, Heavenly Father? Lord Jesus, I'm asking in the name of Jesus, would you bless each person who's listening on this line, Heavenly Father? Would you give them the healing that they're seeking? Lord, would you give them the word of God that they're seeking, Heavenly Father? Would you give them an atonement, the spirituality, Heavenly Father, the conviction that they are seeking, Heavenly Father, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the comfort that they are seeking, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, as we go into our transition into this next prayer, Heavenly Father, we're asking you to touch each person. If there are specific names we need to call, Heavenly Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus, we call those names, Heavenly Father. If there's particular spirits that we need to call out, Heavenly Father, we're asking you to bless us to call out those spirits, Heavenly Father. We're asking in the name of Jesus, would you cover us as we begin to pray, and would you take over this whole broadcast tonight, Heavenly Father? Would you take over this whole prayer line tonight? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Heavenly Father. There are a lot of things that's going on in this world, Heavenly Father. There are a lot of people that are losing their lives, Lord. There are a lot of children who are losing their lives. There are a lot of women in particular who are losing their lives, Lord. There are a lot of people who are not thinking before they, Heavenly Father. We're asking whatever that spirit is, that instantaneous spirit that's upon the people, Heavenly Father, would you remove it in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord? Would you remove the anger spirit, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus tonight? Would you remove the murderous spirit, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Heavenly Father? Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, would you bless those children who are motherless, would you bless those children who are fatherless, Heavenly Father? Would you give them the unction of the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father? Would you be their comforter? Would you be the angel that keeps them in the midnight hour, Lord? Would you be the tissue that wipes their eyes, Lord? Would you be the hands that picks them up when they fall because they're in tears and they're crying, Heavenly Father? Would you be the mind regulator, Heavenly Father, when their minds begin to kind of go a different direction, Heavenly Father, because they don't know what's going on, Heavenly Father? We're asking in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we ask you in the name of Jesus, would you bless the bereaved families, Heavenly Father, all over this land and country, those individuals who have lost someone, Heavenly Father, we still lift up the Tanner family in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We know that everything done has a purpose and a great plan, Heavenly Father. We ask in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, would you look down upon them, Heavenly Father, and comfort them, Heavenly Father, in a time of grief, Heavenly Father. We ask you, Heavenly Father, would you travel, and you're already there, to Houston, Texas, and give that family comfort and closure, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we're asking you, Heavenly Father, would you even bless the hands of the enemy, Heavenly Father, would you anoint their hands to do a great work, to do something great within you, Heavenly Father. We know that this is not the end and the be-all, Heavenly Father, but we do realize and recognize that there is a spiritual conviction, Heavenly Father, not only coming from the inside, Heavenly Father, but coming from you, a visitation of the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. We're asking in the name of Jesus, would you bless those who are contemplating doing something that they're not supposed to do? Would you bless their minds and regulate their minds and their hearts and to help them to think before they do, Heavenly Father? The name of Jesus. We're asking, Heavenly Father, would you bless those who are in the hospitals, those who are coming out of the hospitals, Heavenly Father, those who are going in the hospitals, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, those who are going in for neck pain, back pain, leg pain, feet pain, arm pain, Heavenly Father, those who are not able to see, Heavenly Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, oh, thank you, Jesus, we're asking in the name of Jesus for those who are not able to see, Heavenly Father, we're asking, would you give them a spiritual atonement, spiritual seeing power, Heavenly Father, where they can see that you are with them, Heavenly Father. You are beside them, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, today. Lord Jesus, we ask in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, would you bless those who cannot walk, Heavenly Father. Regulate their legs, Heavenly Father, to be your will, Lord Jesus. We're asking, would you help them to move, Heavenly Father, in a manner in which they're moving toward their destiny, Heavenly Father, wherever that is, whether their destiny be being able to turn in their beds, Heavenly Father, being able to walk two or three steps, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the movement of the ligaments, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the movement of the mind, Heavenly Father, for regulating the mind. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for just rendering out your hand, Heavenly Father, and holding the hands of those who want to do harm, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord God. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless those who are out there in the streets, Heavenly Father, those who are watching the fireworks, Heavenly Father, we ask you, would you protect them and keep them safe, those who contemplate or think about doing something harmful, Lord Jesus, we ask you, would you turn them away, Heavenly Father. Oh, my God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the police officer, Heavenly Father, who saved through your spirit and your power that little boy who was about to drown and lose his life, Lord. We thank you for the spirits in the water, Heavenly Father. We've been praying, Heavenly Father. We thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the word of God, Lord. We thank you for the healing power of the hands, and we thank you for the feet that walk in your glory, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we ask in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, would you cleanse our hearts and purify our minds? If there is any hatred in the enemy's heart, if there is any hatred in the saint's heart, Heavenly Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you remove it, Heavenly Father? Lord God, we know that you are a healer. We know that you are a provider. We know that you're El Shaddai, Elohim, Yahweh, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we thank you in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, for sparing our lives today, for helping us to wake up in the morning, this morning, because somebody didn't wake up. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, in particular, would you bless the Caesar family, Heavenly Father, Shirley Caesar and her husband, Heavenly Father, as he has gone on and transitioned to a higher place in the Lord, Heavenly Father. We ask you, would you give that family comfort, peace, and rest, Heavenly Father. Help them to know that he's in a better place, Heavenly Father, and just comfort them, Heavenly Father, in the midnight hours. Comfort them, Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, would you continue to just continue to bless the children of this world, Heavenly Father. Bless their minds. Bless their spiritual convictions, Heavenly Father. Bless their parents to be better parents and to continue to look towards you, Heavenly Father, for which cometh their help, Heavenly Father. We're asking which to have mercy on all of these parents who are leaving their children. It seems like it's a fad, leaving their children at hot cause, Heavenly Father, killing their children, Heavenly Father. Whatever spirit that is in the atmosphere, we ask in the name of Jesus, would it be removed, Heavenly Father? Oh, my God, we're asking, Heavenly Father, would you bless those who are going off to college, Lord? Keep them safe. Keep your hands on them, Lord. Keep your eyes on them. Heavenly Father, help their feet to walk into the destiny where you would have them to go, Lord. Lord God, if there's anything that is not of you, Heavenly Father, within those campus realms that's on the campus, that's near the campus, we're asking would you remove it right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, my God. Lord Jesus, we're just asking in the name of Jesus, would you help us, Heavenly Father, to be better for you, Heavenly Father, to pray better, Heavenly Father, to see better, to see the glory of God, Heavenly Father, to hear better, Heavenly Father, to hear your voice, to walk better, to walk into the destiny, Heavenly Father, where you would have us to go. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're asking, Heavenly Father, would you help us, Heavenly Father, would you help the ministers and the ministry of God and the word of God to go forth, Heavenly Father. If there is anything behind the pulpit, in front of the pulpit, on the side of the pulpit that's not of you, we ask, would you cast it down right now in the name of Jesus, because there are souls that are at stake that needs to be saved, Heavenly Father. We're asking in the name of Jesus, would you help us to be better people, Heavenly Father. Help us to give better. Help us to do better. Help us to live better, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we keep going back to the jailhouse, Heavenly Father. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you cover each prisoner who's in there, Heavenly Father. Give them an experience of a spiritual conviction, Heavenly Father, and help them to know that you are God, Lord. If they have a book that they have to read, Lord Jesus, make it the Bible, Heavenly Father, where you can begin to teach them their ways, Heavenly Father. Send the ministers and the pastors and those individuals who you have anointed, Heavenly Father, in the jail cells so that they can make better decisions, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask you with this ministry that you have going, Heavenly Father, with the lovely of Jesus up ministry, be a ministry that is a segue, Heavenly Father, to your will and to your way, Lord. That's a segue to prevent people from making bad decisions, making poor choices, not doing what thus says the Lord, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we have mercy on them who have given up their hands unto the blood of someone else, Heavenly Father. We say, Lord, have mercy, Heavenly Father, to those parents and those people who have left kids in the different hot cause. Lord, we say, have mercy, Jesus, and help us, Father, to those people who, those teenagers, Heavenly Father, who make up stories, Heavenly Father, about this or that, Heavenly Father. We say, Lord, have mercy, Heavenly Father, to those who are not living a godly life. We say, Lord, have mercy to the things that go at the pulpit, Lord. We say, Lord, have mercy for the things that are going on in the streets, Heavenly Father. Oh, my God, we pray for the city and the state of Chicago, Heavenly Father. We pray for each person, Heavenly Father, within that realm, Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, would you continue to help the ministry of God to go forth, Heavenly Father. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless each person on this land, Heavenly Father, each family on this land, Heavenly Father, those who we know and those who we don't know, Heavenly Father. We ask you, Heavenly Father, would you teach us to pray? Would you bless us to begin to pray for the needs instead of the wants, Heavenly Father? Would you help us to serve you because we need you, not because we want a new car, or we want a new house, or we want a new spouse, or we want something new, Heavenly Father, but help us to be real and serving a true and living God, Heavenly Father. We ask in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, would you continue to ordinate and concentrate and focus on our lives, Heavenly Father, and help us to continue to go into the right direction of the will of God, Heavenly Father. We ask in the name of Jesus, as we continue to see the bereaved families, Heavenly Father, would you give them strength and courage to make it through, would you bless them and help them to know that you are God and that you are the comforter. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. And many times we don't understand why things happen, but they happen because of your will And it's because of your purpose. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, would you bless those little ones who are missing their mothers, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Would you give them strength and courage right now because they know what's going on, but they really don't. Lord Jesus, they have false hope, Heavenly Father. And we ask in the name of Jesus, would you be that void that they will miss it, that they are missing in their life in the name of Jesus, Lord. We know that these prayers extend all the way from Texas to the whole world, Heavenly Father. We know that. We know that the anointing of God extends from Texas to the whole world, Heavenly Father. We know that the anointing extends all over the place, Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, if there's anyone, and I see you, anyone who has bumped their heads, who has fallen, Heavenly Father, anyone who is unconscious in the name of Jesus, we're asking you, would you give them a Lazarus experience and help them to arise and help them to begin to praise and serve you because there is a truth in serving a true and living God, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We uplift and we magnify your name, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the things that you're going to do. We thank you for the things you have done. We thank you for being the God of the past, the present, and the future, Lord. We thank you for being the Alpha Omega, beginning and the end, Yahweh El Shaddai Elohim, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Emmanuel, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we say hallelujah because we give you the highest praise. Oh, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for what you've done, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Jesus, we thank you for the years we're here, Lord. We thank you for everything that we've been through, Lord. And we thank you for the things that you have just brought us out of, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, and before this broadcast came on, Lord, you spoke a phrase. And it says, bread of heaven, fall upon me. Let your anointing come upon me. Let your bright light shine around me. Lord, I thank you. I thank you because I need all the manna I can receive from heaven, Lord. I need all of the anointing that I can get, Lord. I need all of the light that I can get in order to let my light shine so that men, women, boys, and girls may see the God. And I thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you as we begin to conclude this prayer and go into the revelation, but never out of your presence, would you just help us and keep us safe, Lord. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking you, would you be the comforter, Lord? Would you be the God that we need, Heavenly Father? Would you be the voice that needs to be heard, Lord? Would you be the eyes? Would you be the ears? Lord, we magnify, we glorify your name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the presence. We thank you for the visit. We thank you for the spiritual conviction. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for the victories. We thank you for the defeats. We thank you for the success. We thank you for the failures. We thank you for the yeses. We thank you for the noes. We thank you for the ministry that's about to go forth and what you're about to do, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We adore you. We love you. This concludes our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Hey, amen. Amen. Particular time as I get myself together and catch my breath. Yes. We're going to hear a revelation from God. As I said before, I don't know what the revelation is. But what I do know is that it has to do with us. It has to do with the concept of stop. Write this down. Think and do. There used to be a time, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and I want to thank you for joining me. I was so into the Holy Spirit that I didn't thank you. And I say thank God and I thank you. And I thank the babies who are on the line. When I say babies, we're talking about from 3 to 5. They're listening with their parents. I thank you so much. Bless you. But God wants us to stop, think, and do. Ladies and gentlemen, there has been a lot of things going on in America. Day after day, I read about babies being left in hot cars. Day after day, I read about domestic violence, people drowning, people not being safe, people making threats. You know, it's a lot going on. And the Lord said, this is enough. It's time to to educate. Time to educate us. And the main point here, and as I said before, I don't know the revelation the Lord is going to give, but it's going to be a revelation. The main point is we need to stop. What do we need to stop? When we become angry, the Lord is speaking, anger is humanistic, means that each person is capable of the spirit of anger. Each person is capable of getting hell inside of them, which comes from Satan himself. He's the originator of it. Feel yourself, right, getting angry. You need to just stop. If you are getting ready to get into an argument, stop. If you are getting ready to walk out the door because you're so angry, stop. If you're getting ready to get in your car because you're angry, stop. Just like you know when you get full from food, you know that because you want to go to sleep. You're going to have to gauge your anger, right? Somebody said something to you that made you just mad. You ready to go off. Stop. Because what happens is, and I'm going to tell you what happens. This is a three-step process here. What happens when we don't stop is that we keep going. That's obvious. And people will say, duh. But the duh is actually, there's a second part to it. We keep going. And what happens is we get into a zone, ladies and gentlemen, and it's called going too far. Maybe you didn't take someone's life, but you went too far by cursing them out. Maybe you didn't cuss somebody out. Maybe you called them a name. Maybe you made them feel bad. That's going too far. That's right. And the commandments say we should love one another. But what God is saying is stop. You see yourself getting mad. How do you know that you're mad or angry? Because your heart starts beating a little bit faster than normal. That's why. That's how you can know. I just told you right there. The Lord showed your heart begins to beat faster. That's how you know that you're getting angry. And it's time to stop. At that point, stop. Stop whatever you're doing. Just stop. Don't say another word. Just stop. Okay? And somebody's saying, well, what if the person keeps going? You stop. I didn't say anything about making the other person stop. We are accountable for ourselves. You stop. We're not worried about the other person and they're still talking. You stop. All right? Number two, when you stop, you must think. Do you know why we have a red light, a green light, and a yellow light? Because at some point we have to stop to let the other person go. And what God is saying is once we stop, then we can stop long enough to make a decision. Right? Conscience. And the reason why, you notice I didn't say with our spiritual conviction, I said with our conscience, because the conscience is going to follow us no matter what. No matter what happens, our conscience is with us. The way that we receive a spiritual conviction is a visitation by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So let me take you through this, the think part. With the particular think part, all right, this is where you know right from wrong. All right? Even a child knows right from wrong. You know how I know a child knows right from wrong? Because when they're getting ready to go into the cookie jar and you told them several times not to, and we're speaking of three-year-olds and on up, they will look at you to see if you are watching. All right? That's their conscience. The spiritual conviction comes when you go over to a child, right? And with Jesus Christ, okay? I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to have to back it up a little bit because I want to tell you this first of all. Let's talk about a child. All right, real quick, and then we're still talking about the think part, so don't get confused. Let's talk about a child. All right, so you've told your child or children not to go in the cookie jar, right? And so you and your spouse is on the couch sleep, right? And so they catch you sleep, so they decide, I'm going in the cookie jar. So they tiptoe over to the cookie jar, open up the cookie, jar, and before they take a cookie, they will look at you, right? And you're not really asleep, so you call their name. Hey, Junior, what you doing in there? And then they hurry up and put the top back on the cookie jar. That is their conscience, right? And you know that a child's sin is on the parent until they're 12 years old. So say, for instance, you told that child not to go in the cookie jar, and they was disobedient and went into that cookie jar. That's on you, because you're supposed to be teaching a child to be honest no matter what, right? Okay, so let's talk about an adult who knows better. Okay, so when we talk about the thinking process, the conscience, all right, so say that something's going on, all right? So you stopped. You did what you're supposed to do. You stopped, and now you're thinking about it, right? And you say, okay, I know that if I continue to fuss and argue, then there's going to be a negative outcome, right? Or you'll say, okay, if I stop, then I will be considered as weak, and then the other person wins. That's what the conscience says to you, okay, when you begin thinking. So as you're thinking about this and remembering what I've taught you here through the Holy Spirit, person A continues to just carry on and rant and rave and holler and say all the things you haven't done. And you're conscious, you're saying, you know what? You know, I'm not going to appear to be the weaker person. I have to win this. And so you continue to go on and on until somebody goes too far. Now, there's a such thing as a spiritual conviction, okay? And mind you that during the stop and think, the conscience is your guide. And it's very important, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this, it's boys and girls, it's very important that we groom our conscience. And that's what the Lord is saying. And when we talk about grooming our conscience, we're talking about studying the Word of God. Write that down. When we talk about grooming our conscience for the two steps of stop and think, we're talking about grooming, okay? We're talking about grooming our conscience. Let's go to the do part. Okay, so say that you're subject B, all right? You stopped. You remember what I told you? You stopped. And then you sat down and you thought about it. Okay? That's your conscience. Sat down and thought about it. And this person over here is still carrying on. The devil is still on your back. So by the time you get to the do part, your conscience, put conscience on the left side. Write it down. Conscience, draw a line, and put spiritual conviction on the right side. Spiritual conviction. What happens is your conscience, which is your guide, naturally in the human nature, begins to go against your spiritual conviction. Now, I'm going to tell you this as the Lord has given it to me before I explain this to you, because this is very deep, and I want you to understand this, and I want to understand it as well. When we speak the conscience, we're speaking about the conscience as a guide. Everyone has a guide that they follow, which is really our morals and our ethics, right? Believe it or not, even people who aren't in the church title to a spiritual conviction. That is why, and I'm gonna prove this to you. As I was telling you that the Lord showed me the sheep, the Lord knew that he had 100 sheep, 99 of them remained and one left. Well, guess what? The Lord went to go find that one sheep. Okay? That's how important we are to God. And what God is saying, it's not about going out to find someone. The Lord says, when my sheep are lost, I still seek them. But many times when we're lost, we don't seek Jesus, but he seeks us. And so this proves the point of anyone can have a spiritual conviction. So let's talk about this. Okay. So what happens is once we stop and once we think about it, and our conscience is still the main character in all this, all right? And one part of your conscience says, okay, if I stop, I'll appear weak, and the other person will win. And one part says, you know, if I stop, then I can make a good decision, all right? So then you have an opportunity to do something, okay? And what happens is your conscience and your spiritual conviction comes into play. Your conscience, I'm going to give you characteristics. Your conscience is very prideful. Your conscience is prideful because, and I'm talking about everybody's conscience, it's prideful because that's your conscience. And your conscience is your guide because your mind follows your conscience. So the conscience is prideful. The conscience is egocentric, which means the ego says that I can do whatever I want to do, how I want to do it. I'm running this body right here. Your conscience is the thermostat of your temperament, believe it or not. Your conscience, our conscience, is the thermostat of our temperament, meaning that the conscience guides our attitude, right? Let's talk about spiritual conviction right quick, and we're going to come back to this. Let's talk about spiritual conviction, okay? Because as I said before with the do part, the conscience and the spiritual conviction come head to head. Spiritual conviction, and I'm going to tell you what this is a symbolization of, what the Lord is showing me, but I don't want to confuse anybody. With the spiritual conviction, what you have, I want you to write it down. Spiritual conviction. The first thing I want you to put is visitation. All right? And this is real, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not. Visitation of the Holy Spirit. Second thing I want you to put is godly. And the third thing I want you to put is authentic, which means the authentic word of God, okay? And scriptures can back it up. So what you have on your third part, after you stop and you think about it, then this is where your spiritual conviction meets up with your conscience, okay? And your conscience, basically, as I said before, our conscience is prideful, it's egocentric, and it's the thermostat of our bodies and our temperament. We carry our conscience more than we do our spiritual conviction because our conscience by nature is our guide. That's why it's always important, ladies and gentlemen, to stay into the Word of God so that we, when we make decisions, we can experience a spiritual conviction. Now, with the spiritual conviction, and we're on the do part, which is the third part, okay? We stopped. You stopped fussing with whoever the subject is. You thought about it. Okay, and as I said before, the conscience is doing its part because it's saying if you stop, then you're weak. But then on the other hand, you can also make the right choice. So it's giving you two choices. With spiritual conviction, when we come to the do part, the spiritual conviction say, hey, you know this is not right. This is your opportunity to fix it and make it right. There is no in-between. There's no gray area. The Lord is saying, this is the word of God. This is the right thing to do. All right? So that's why we like the spiritual conviction, the visitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, does the Lord come and sit before you at a table and begin to speak to you like I'm speaking to you? No, a human body does not come and speak to you like that. The Spirit of God can open up your ears and speak to you. You can hear the voice of God. I know it sounds strange. I know it sounds peculiar. But you can hear the voice of God. But more than that, as I'm talking to you and the Lord is speaking, the Lord says he began to work on the inside of your heart. He begins to give you heart surgery because he has to fix some things in your heart so that you can open your mouth and begin to praise him, so that you can open your mouth and confess that Jesus is Lord and do the right thing. So it's not about, the Lord doesn't always come and speak to you and say, I'm getting ready to do something to your heart. I'm getting ready to convict you spiritually. The Lord is not going to say that. The Lord is going to begin to work on the inside of our hearts so that we can begin to open up our mouths and people will see a change on the outside. because something happened in the inside, and that was a visitation from the Holy Spirit. There was a change of heart. The Lord convicted us to do the right thing. And that's that. So let me go back over this real quick before we go to our next revelation. The Lord says, in all that we do, we need to stop. You're upset. Your blood pressure's up. Somebody makes you mad. Somebody said something on a job that makes you mad. Somebody called you and told you something that makes you mad. A friend came and told you what somebody else said that makes you mad. You know, you're upset. Somebody told a story on you. You were upset, you know. Your spouse didn't come home at the time you thought they should. You're upset. Your children are talking back to you. You're upset. Stop. Just stop. Just stop. When you stop, you're not just stopping like you playing freeze tag, amen. We are stopping because we are trying to hear the voice of God. We're stopping because we're praying. The Lord says when you stop. He said you don't have to say a long prayer. You don't have to say, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You don't have to do that. Just say, Lord, have mercy. And the Lord understands that. He understands what you need at that time. So stop. When you stop, begin to speak to Jesus. And we're not talking about you have to sit there, because sometimes you're not going to be in your secret closet, amen? Sometimes you're going to be in your car. Sometimes you're going to be on your job. Sometimes you're going to be in the midst of people. And if you're standing there looking at somebody talking as if you're speaking to God, then everybody's going to look at you like you're strange. You can say it to yourself. You can stretch up your hand unto heaven and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy. The Lord understands that. So you stop. Number two, you think. We talked about that. You think about what you're going to do. Your conscience is your guide at this particular point. Why? Because it's humanistic. Every human is entitled to a conscience. Okay? And your conscience, remember, is very egocentric. Your conscience is your guide and it's prideful. Why? Because that's your conscience. You think you're the best person. We think we're the best person that's ever happened on this earth. And it's a known fact. You're human. Right? So your conscience begins to say, you know what, if you don't fuss back, if you don't say something back, if you don't give this person a piece of your mind back, then you're considered weak. But then the other part of the conscience, right, which is humanistic, is saying, you know, but if you walk away, you can make a good choice. And so what you find in the think part is there is a conflict between the left side of your conscience and the right side of your conscience, but it's still one whole thing. It's still your conscience. And so there's a conflict. Your conscience is not on one accord. That's how you know that you are not being led by the Spirit of God when you're trying to make decisions, because you have to think about it. And when you think about it, you have this side over here, the left side, saying, you know, if you stop fussing, then you're going to be weak if you don't, you know, fuss back at this person. But then the right side saying, well, you know, if you just walk away, then you don't have to hear all that. And so at this point, you're stuck. So then what God does is he comes in. The visitation of the Spirit is godly. It's on one accord, having one mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, not in your conscience, not in your friend, not in yourself, not in your pride, not in your ego. But he said, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the Lord just comes in and he makes it real. He begins to convict us. And as I said before, the Lord doesn't have to say, I'm coming in to do something to your heart. The Lord's not going to say that. He don't have to say that all the time. Lord, just come in. And he begins to work on the heart. And what happens is once the Lord begins to work on the heart, you begin to be regulated by the Holy Spirit and doing things that you thought you couldn't do. And then the world sees a difference in your attitude and also a difference in your altitude, or how high you're able to go up, because little things don't bother you anymore. You see what I'm saying? So the Lord is saying today, stop, think about him. Think, not with your conscience, but with conviction, spiritual conviction, and do, through the Holy Spirit. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's all the Lord is saying. So that's the first thing. The second thing, And I don't know what I'm going to say, but the Lord's going to give it to me. We're going to have to start making sound decisions. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know this or not, and I know a lot of people will say, duh, and I know a lot of people will laugh, but this is serious. Anytime that we hurt someone, whether it be with our hands, whether it be that we take their lives, whether it be that we say something, we do something, we go underhanded, we don't give them the, you know, what they deserve, we keep people stagnated. Anytime we do any of that, we can't take none of that back. When you hurt somebody, when you take someone's life, you can't, they can't come back. I know that you guys have been, you know about Lazarus. We talk about Lazarus all the time, how Jesus was able to raise him up. But we can't do that. There's no one on this earth that can bring somebody back to life after the Lord has called them. Now, we need to read the Ten Commandments. We really do. Every last person, we need to revisit them. We need to visit them at least once a week. Because the Lord gives us a blueprint of how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to treat people, how we're supposed to handle people, how we're supposed to praise God. The Lord gives us that blueprint, ladies and gentlemen, and it breaks my heart. When Jesus is the author and finisher, and we decide to act like we're God and cut people short. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that we allow the Lord to do his job, because we're going to suffer the consequences. If you read about the Israelites, the anger upon God, God is a very just God. God is a forgiving God. God is just magnificent. But God can become angry, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord can call a famine when he gets ready. He can cause a raging sea when he gets ready. He can take lives when he gets ready. All of that. And we need to be more respectful of our sisters and brothers. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about biological too, but of people in the world. And we need to allow the Lord to call them. We shouldn't be calling people to their graves. It's time out for playing with the Word of God. Time out for taking people's lives for no reason, really, because we're angry, because I'm mad, you know. We really need to get back into the Word of God. And it doesn't matter if it sounds churchy, because that churchy is going to get you to heaven, amen? You have to know the Word of God, and you have to live by those principles. It's too much going on in the world. It's too much unnecessary stuff that's going on. Too much hatred. Too much jealousy. Too much envy. It's too much going on. We need to get back in the church. We need to get our kids back in the church. And we need to go back to church. We need to study our temperaments. We need to get that in check. And we need to regulate it, just like we regulate the thermostat at home and at work. We need to regulate our attitude. We need to regulate how we handle people. We need to regulate how we parent children. We need to regulate how we teach children. There's a lot of things that we need to work on. You notice I said we, because nobody's perfect. Love is the answer, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't mean that you have to be fluffy, fluffy, Dougie, none of that. But it should be genuine love in your heart for people, all people. Not just the people you know, not just the people you met, not just the people you like, not just the people who look like you, not just the people who drive with you, everybody. When the Holy Spirit walk in the room, the people shall feel the love. Enough is enough, ladies and gentlemen. We pick up the newspaper. Somebody was beat up. Somebody was killed. Some kid was left in the car. That's unnecessary. When we know, even with our conscience, we know that it's wrong. But we don't have any fear. And what the Lord is saying is the people need to be convicted spiritually. And the Lord is coming, ladies and gentlemen. Believe it or not, I'm on this air. I'm talking online, on Blog Talk Radio. The Lord is coming. So either we're going to be spiritually convicted before he gets here, or even when he gets here, we're going to be spiritually convicted. So either way it goes, we're going to be spiritually convicted. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That includes atheists, people who don't believe in God, people who are hard-headed, people who do whatever they want to. Everybody. So the evangelist, everybody is going to bow down and say Jesus is Lord. As I said before, there's a shift in the atmosphere. Things aren't like it used to be. Jesus is coming. This is nothing, as I said before, to scare people, because the Lord is not going to light a match and blow up the earth. He said it won't be water, it'll be fire next time. Amen? That's what he said. But the Lord is not going to light up a match and blow up the whole earth. So if someone tell you that the earth is getting ready to end, it's not. We all have to stand accountable unto the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. When they speak about the rapture, amen, they're not speaking about rapturing up all the saints at one time. We all have a destiny and we have a day, right? And so when people talk about the end of the earth and the time of the day, it's false. Nobody knows the day nor the hour, because if we did, we wouldn't act like we do, some of us. We try to get things in order before Jesus came back. So don't be misled. You want to hear about it. People are going to say the earth is, the world is getting ready to end. It's not. No man knows, no woman knows the day nor the hour. But I came online because I was being obedient to God. And this is very serious, ladies and gentlemen. We have to stop, think, and do. We have to allow ourselves to be spiritually convicted. People are run from spiritual conviction. But guess what? God's going to convict us anyway, even if he has to force his way in. And the truth will be told. So we might as well get ready. But as I said before, it's too much happening. I've read about 5 or 6 cases where kids have been left in hot cars. Doesn't make any sense. Cases where people have gotten angry and took someone else's life. Why? Doesn't make any sense. Temporary feeling that's going to cause a lifetime of pain. Wouldn't it be nice if all of us would love one another? Wouldn't it be nice if all of us would treat everybody right? Wouldn't it be nice if, you know, everyone was on God's side? Nobody worked for the devil. Everybody ignored the devil, shunned the devil. It would be real nice. But instead, some people prefer to work for the devil than God. And that's our job, pastors, ministers, evangelists, elders, to get people back on track. The Lord is very saddened because of many things that has transpired all over this world. We're not doing our jobs, how to live. We're not responsible for their actions, but we're responsible if we know for giving the word of God and showing people a better way. Stepping outside of the churches, and this is what CWC does, stepping outside of the churches, reaching out to the community in which your church is at. Telling men, women, boys, and girls that they must be born again. Preaching the true gospel. That's why it's so important to go outside. Jesus left his sheep. He left all 99 of them. And he went out for that one, calling the saints. If you know the word of God, if you have the word of God in your heart, the Lord has authorized you, the Lord has sent you out, he summoned you, then go. It's people out there who are lost. We have ministers who preach to the same people Sunday after Sunday, and I said, that's good. That's consistency. But there are people out there who are lost that needs to come in. When are we going to make time for them? Yeah, we're saddened because of the things that's happening in the world with anger and people taking people's lives, people leaving kids in their cars and doing all this other stuff. But what are we doing about it for God? What is the better way that we're showing people? Things happen like that. That happened in North Carolina. But we still feel it in Texas. Why? Because that's one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are responsible ministers, evangelists, elders, prophets, teachers. We are responsible for disseminating the information. We are, doesn't matter what you call it, evangelism, missionary work. You are a pastor. You are a teacher. The Lord has given you the word of God. He's anointed your mouth. Go out. Teach people better ways, how to control anger. We can't be selfish and just say, this is my church. I'm going to stay behind the pulpit or I'm going to walk in the aisles. You have to go out and get the sheep. Jesus didn't wait on that sheep to come back. Why? Because the sheep was already lost. The sheep wasn't going to come back unless Jesus went after it. Jesus had 99 sheep. Do we think that those 99 were more than that one? To God, it wasn't. He went out and he got that sheep. And it wasn't so much of, I want to be greedy and have 100 sheep. Each person, each sheep is important to God, which means each person on earth is important to God. It is our job and our responsibility, if we know it, to share it. We need to bring awareness. Step outside of the pulpits, outside of the church. Take your congregations outside of the church. That's what we're saying all over this land. That's the letters we're sending out. It doesn't cost anything but time and a little bit of effort. That's it. Step outside of the church. Introduce our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to people. You don't have to beat them over the head with the word of God, but you can begin to tell people how good God is. You don't have to give them literature and ask them to read it, but you can begin to give your own testimony and tell people how good God is. People need to know a better way. People need to know how to change their temperament. And that's the whole point of sin is temperament. If we could get people to regulate temperament, we wouldn't have so much trouble. There's trouble on every side. Same scenario, different people. Same scenario, different place. Doesn't make any sense, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord is getting tired of it. It's time for us to begin to perform a good work, begin to plant good seeds. Nothing's funny anymore about people dying young, people dying. It's nothing. It's nothing that is funny about that. It's nothing funny and cute about leaving a kid in the car. It's really not. It's not nothing funny and cute about hating someone because of the color of their skin, because of what they believe in. There's nothing funny about that. The word of God is true. This is serious. The Lord expects those with the word of God to go out, disseminate the information, whether it's on radio, whether it's you're going out to the people, getting from behind the pulpit. We need to start moving our feet. There are sheep out there who are lost. You're going to have your constants. You're going to have your sheep who remain. Go get some other sheep and bring them. The Lord is good. And if there's anyone who does not know our Lord and Savior, I recommend our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tonight is very important No one knows the day nor the hour. No one knows when Jesus is coming back, but I can guarantee you he's coming back. The world is not going to end like that, but he is coming back, and we have to prepare people. It would be an injustice if we knew and we didn't prepare people for what was to come, and we knew that Jesus was coming back. So we got to do better. So as we conclude this broadcast, I recommend ministers, evangelists, pastors, prophets, teachers, that we begin to obey God. And God says we need to go out. And when you go out, we're not going out as elite people. We're not going out as the Lord has called us, the names and titles. We're going out as people to introduce the King, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not going out to preach to people. The Lord says just let people know that he's in business. Amen. So that's easy. The Lord is able. The Lord is available. People need to know that. People need to know that the Lord is open for business, because they don't know. People don't know that they can pray, although they're out of the ark of safety, and they can pray their way into the ark of safety. People don't know that, and we have to tell them. So as I said before, I recommend the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I recommend that we continue to abide in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we continue to do the will of God, and we continue to be in the will of God. So without further ado, I would like to give you some announcements, and then I will bid you good night. Be sure to continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedalove, blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. A Spiritual Guide on the Go is out. It's at follis.com. Also, it's at barnesandnobles.com. It's also at amazon.com, amazonuk.com, and bookworld.com. That's BOOKWHIRL.com. Be sure to pick up a copy. Gospel artists, promoters, positive figures, actors, actress, positive community leaders. Please, Facebook app Free to Love. That's ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE or EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you on the ministry. All right. Be sure you're praying for 125 individuals. If you have to pray for all of your family members, put them all on one line and pray for them one by one. And do not forget to pray for yourself. In addition to that, continue to watch my Facebook page, as I will have other guests who will come on the ministry. And so we have a power-packed July celebration coming up with many guests, and I would like for you to be a part of it. We will also have different ministers come on Sundays to give you the word of. In addition to that, just make sure that you stay safe and remain safe this whole holiday. And if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. Until next time, take care of yourself and each other. Goodbye, everybody.